All right, back to Mark chapter 16 now. Let's read verses 15 and 16 again. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. The Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, to his disciples, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Unless you're here this morning because you're compelled by someone, generally, when you have a big, fairly large crowd, Sunday morning especially, there are people that come who are compelled to do so by someone else. Someone has talked them into it. They come for various reasons, out of a sense of duty or habit, whatever. Some come out of mere curiosity. But if you are here because you have an interest in God, in the Bible, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in spiritual things, then perhaps you have some questions. Unless you know the answers or have some answers, you have some questions that are unanswered to you. Maybe you're interested. And I don't despise you or everyone being here. I'm glad, because the Lord overrules quite often. Like a child coming who is forced to do so by their parent, who's expected to come. And quite often the Lord overrules and speaks to that child through his word and saves them. Whereas once they came because mom and dad wanted them to come, now they come because they want to come. And the same holds true for a husband or wife or whoever who come for whatever reason. The Lord overrules quite often. So I don't despise people being here at all. I tremble. I just read that scripture again. I thought, oh my. I've got to preach this gospel. And it says here that some who believe, or those who do believe or are baptized, will be saved. But those who don't. And that word just jumped out at me. Now this is the Son of God talking. It's not some soul-winning preacher. This is the Son of God talking. The one who created hell. And he says that some people are going to be damned. Don't go there. Well, I hope you are interested. And if you're not, I hope the Lord will create an interest in you. Maybe you do have some questions, like, what is this salvation all about? What is this all about, this church thing? What does it mean to be saved? What is this baptism? What is this all about? The Lord said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does that mean? What is he talking about? Saved. Everybody uses that term, don't they? Preachers, saved. You want to be saved, don't you? Are you saved? What does that mean? Huh? Well, look back at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Keep your place there in Mark 16. Turn to Luke chapter 19. What does it mean to be saved? What does that mean? Saved. Well, look at Luke 19, our Lord speaking again here. And he says in verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's easy, isn't it? That's easy. Lost. In order to be saved, somebody has to be lost. Don't they? I want to try to make this message plain. That one little line was speaking to me the whole time we were singing. Make the message plain. And if any of you men feel like saying that every now and then during the message, go ahead. Make the message plain. I need to. Lost. Barnard, dropped off Barnard. The Lord used that man to preach the gospel and saving many people through his word, through that instrument, through his man. Rob Barnard used to say this. He said, I ain't trying to get people saved. He said, I'm coming to preach to get people lost. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. A man can't save. I can't save. Soul winner can't save. Only the sovereign Lord can save. When is a man saved? When it pleases God. When God is pleased to save him. And nobody's going to be saved except those that are lost. Nobody in here is saved unless they're once plumb lost. You ever been lost? You ever been lost? What does it mean to be lost? You remember me talking, remember Brother Walter Gruber talking about that time he was out hunting in Mexico by himself? He became disoriented, lost his way, didn't know the way home, didn't know north from south, east from west, got dehydrated, fell down on the ground. He was lost. He couldn't get back. He didn't know where back was. Or he'd have got there. He'd have headed back. Totally disoriented. He was lost. Well, Brother Drew was saved because somebody came and got him. Somebody found him. He was lost. Scripture says that man, we are lost in sin. Lost in sin. They said that about me. When I was a young fellow, they said that to me. He's a lost cause. Have you ever heard that statement? You probably think that about some that you know. Well, he sure is a lost cause. He's a hopeless case. He ain't good for nothing. Man, he's a goner. Oh, my. That's who the Lord saved. That's who the Lord saves. Lost in sin. Scripture says we're dead. Ephesians 2, 1 says dead in trespasses and sin. You hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. Lost the way to God. When a person's lost, they've lost the way to God. Adam. Let me try to illustrate everything. Make it plain. When God created man, man was in perfect harmony and communion with God. He was holy like God. He loved the things of God. He loved God. God was his intimate companion. He lived in God. In him he lived and moved and had his being. He talked with God. He walked with God. He enjoyed his God. He was obedient to his God. Man loved God. Adam. But when Adam willfully disobeyed and rebelled against God Almighty, God said, you're going to die, Adam. You're going to die. The day you rebel against me, you're going to die. But Adam did. He rebelled against God. What happened? He died in sin. He didn't die physically. He started dying, but he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. What's that mean? He was cut off from God. Once before, he loved to walk with God. Now he's running from him. Remember that? Remember the story? God came walking. The voice of God came walking. Adam, where are you? Adam ran from God. Used to, when God came, the voice of God came, Adam, it's my Lord. He ran to him. Now he's running from him. Used to, he wanted to be with him. Now he wanted to hide from him. He lost his love for God. He lost his love for he became full of sin. You know the story. He hated his wife for, it's that woman. And if you hadn't created that woman, I wouldn't be in them. Just became a sinner. A sinner. Dead in trespasses and sin. He lost the way to God. And man now, when man is born, your son or daughter is not interested in God. Deborah, you and Mindy and Vicky are trying your best to teach our young children. And what is the biggest chore that you have in teaching our young people? Just to get them to pay attention. Just to keep their little minds at attention for 5 minutes on the Word of God. You have to, in stories and this and that and the other, you can't keep them interested, can you? Why? They're not interested. Man, when he's born, he's a boy or a girl, they're not interested in God. And you can't make them interested. There's some adults in here right now, I'm just certain of it. There always is in a larger crowd, who are just not interested in these things. And I don't care how I preach this morning, they will not be interested. Unless God does some talking. And creates an interest. And they're more interested in their way. The scripture says, every man, all we like sheep have gone our own way. We're more interested in me, myself, and mine, and the world, and this and that. But don't you want to stop and think about God a little bit? No. No. Lost in sin. Lost the way to God. Going the opposite direction. Saved means to be saved from being lost. Saved means, listen to this, Matthew 1:21. Listen. This is what Jesus means. It's what the name Jesus means. It says in Matthew 1:21, call his name Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save. Jesus. He shall save. Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Men, and like I was just saying, men, women, children are dead in trespasses and sin. Those of you who have children, I don't have to prove this to you, that when they're born sinners. Aren't they? Huh? They're bound by this sinful nature. They're consumed with it. They're controlled by it, this thing called sin. You don't have to teach your daughter to lie. They're already real good at it. Before anything. You don't have to teach them to hate. It comes natural. Love doesn't come natural. You don't have to teach them to cheat. They'll be born cheaters. They are. You don't have to teach them to steal. Do you? What are you teaching your children? You're trying to keep them from doing these things, aren't you? You see, they're bound by this sinful nature. You, adults, which is more enjoyable for you? Come on. Isn't it more enjoyable to covet than to be content? Isn't that easier? To lust than to have clean thought? Doesn't it come easier, quicker? Isn't that just not second nature? It's first nature. Huh? Isn't that first nature to you? To be selfish? What's easier? To give? Or to take? Huh? What's more fun? Come on, humans. To get wild or be peaceable? Drunken or in your right mind? Square. Sober. To be foolish or to be sensible? Which is easier? Which is more
natural, huh?
Well, you know, if you're honest with yourself, huh?
Why?
It says we're dead in sin.
Dead
in sin. Bound by this nature. Controlled by this nature. Dead in sin.
Well, Christ said, those who believe shall be saved from this. Saved from the power of this nature. This controlling power. Saved. Not from completely from the presence of it.
Someday they will be.
Someday they'll be saved from the presence of the sin, never to sin anymore, never to have sinful thoughts anymore.
And not now.
But, he says, those who believe shall be saved from this controlling, reigning power of this sin. It doesn't control anymore. It's there, but it doesn't control anymore. The nature has been changed and given a new nature. Saved from that power of sin and saved from the penalty of it. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. Penalty of sin, which is death. Death. The scripture says a soul that sinneth. How many times have we quoted this scripture? This is God Almighty talking. The soul that sinneth must surely die. The wages of sin is death. That means eternal death. It means hell. That's what it means, hell. By one man sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death. Death. Not only physical, but spiritual death. Spiritual. Cut off from God. Cut off from God. Delivered, Christ said, "Who he that believeth shall be saved from this death, saved from this hell, this eternal life, or this eternal death, saved from wrath." Listen to these verses. Listen. It says, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath. Who the scripture says is angry with the wicked every day. Who's the wicked? Us. Me, little old you, sweet little girl as you are, boy, angry. Enough so it'd send men to an eternal hell where the worm dieth not. It's God's word, is what he's saying. If you refuse to believe it, don't come in here again. Well, if you don't believe this, don't listen. Wrath. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:36. All men can quote is John 3:16. Listen to verse 36 of John 3. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. Not the love of God. God doesn't love everybody. I don't care what these preachers are telling you. The preacher, Jesus Christ, said, he that believeth not, the wrath, not the love, the wrath of God abides upon him or her. God's angry. Here's a good illustration, Rick. We were working over at the house the other day, and here was this nest of yellow jackets. And I'd already been stung by those yellow jackets once. Out in my garage, and one stung me on the neck. And it made me angry. Those little yellow things made me angry, as it would you at my house. They're intruding. They're good for nothing. We saw a nest of them up there, and we just knew that they're going to sting us if we didn't do something about it. Didn't we, Rick? I said, look there. He said, yeah. It's the one that hadn't stung us yet. All that pounding and banging and all that. And I said, think we ought to kill him? He said, kill him. Well, what have they done? Nothing yet, but they will. Kill them. I got some spray out and killed them, and they hit the ground. I stomped them. Why? They ain't good for nothing. They're stinging me. What good is man to God? Huh? All he done is stung him all his life. Spit in his face. Huh? Rebelled against him. Sinned against him. Huh? You? What about you?
So we've all sinned because God's clothed us and fed us and gave us our lives and our husbands, our homes, our wives, our families, our well-being, our health, our jobs, good jobs, homes, car after clothing after food, just all these things. Why do you think? Who made us to differ? Who made us to differ? We are what we are by the free, unmerited, sovereign bestowal of God Almighty. Everything we have, God just freely said, here, I'm going to give this to this old boy. Give. What have we given God in return? Not much. Nothing. We'll hardly give him 5 minutes of our time. Get restless when we have to sit here for 30 minutes. God's angry. Wouldn't you be? Angry. See, I'm going to put that old boy out of my misery. Wrath. The wrath of God abides upon him. See, it's an old-fashioned hell's fire and damnation. Jesus Christ preached hell more than anybody. More than anybody. Jesus Christ, lovely Jesus, meek and mild, he preached hell. He said, God doesn't love everybody. The wrath of God abides on him. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from this wrath. Now the wrath of God won't abide upon them. The blood will be on them. Is anybody interested? Anybody interested? All right, now, what do we believe to be saved? I want to be saved, preacher. What do we believe to be saved? Look back at the text again, Mark 16. Look at it, Mark 16. Look at verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. That's it. What do we believe? The gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? And we need to ask that, don't we? Then what is the gospel? Our Lord said that there were many in his day that believed and yet weren't saved. And Paul said there's some come preaching another gospel, which won't save. I need to know what the gospel is. I need to know, John, I need to know what the gospel is so I can believe it and be saved. Huh? Oh, I wish every preacher in town was preaching this message this morning. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at the gospel. One more time, okay? Ain't everybody in here saved? Sometimes I'm not sure about myself, but I need to hear the gospel again. I need to make sure, Joe, that I believe this gospel. I'm going to give diligence right now. Would you give it with me? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you believe this gospel and are saved. Barbara, you believe the gospel? You say, well, yes, but preach it again. I want to make sure. All right? Romans 1. Now, let me say this first. Before we get into this, believing, it's not just, well, I agree with that. It's not just mental assent or acceptance of some facts. If any of you stay in here long enough, under this preaching long enough, we go verse by verse, you'll have to say, well, that's got to be so. It's got to be so. It's just from the Bible. I see it in my own two eyes. And you'll say, just rationally, you'll say, that's true. That's true. That's not. That's true. I see. That's not faith. Romans 10 says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man. Romans 10:10. With the heart man believeth and is saved. With the heart. What does that mean? What does that mean? Believe with the heart. Christ said it. He said, they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. That is from the heart, not merely believing facts.
James said, you believe in one God? Have I convinced you? Have you come here long enough and heard my preaching to convince you that God is sovereign? The devil believes that.
And trembles. He ain't saved. So it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? This is with the heart. Heart. Some people, I believe, in here are convinced of these truths, but don't yet have a heartfelt need for them. They believe God's God in them, but don't yet have a heartfelt need for this God. Believe what I'm saying about Christ and His work, but don't yet have a heartfelt need for this Christ. I believe there's some that do. I believe, I see some workings maybe in one or two new that it seems that they have a need. I had a lady tell me just the other day, say, I don't know what's happening to me, but she said, I just can't stay away from here. See, that's that heartfelt need. Need. If you need something, you know, I need food. I need it. You know where you're going to find me this afternoon? At the table. You know where you're going to find me tonight? Eating something. Probably stand be chocolate milkshake and popcorn. That's what I eat every Sunday night and Wednesday night. Isn't that it? But I love food. You see, I have a need for food. My body is sustained by food. You're going to find me when food, sir, eating. Those who have a heartfelt need for Christ, where are you going to find them? They're going to be feeding. I need this. What's the gospel then? Have you believed it from the heart? You see your need. What is it? Look at Romans 1, verse 1. I'm called to be an apostle, he said, separate unto the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel, it's the good news that God's got. You just need to hear that, John. You just love to hear it. There's a difference between believing something and loving it. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2. Some people didn't love the truth. Do you love that? I mean, you love the fact. Do you love to hear me preach God as God? Huh? Do you get tired of it? Do you need to hear that God's God? Oh, that's your salvation in it. God's God. I need God to be God, don't you? I need a God who's God. But I don't need this old God out here who's loving everybody and something that might go to hell anyway. I don't need that God. I need a God who loves with an everlasting love and therefore with loving kindness draws them and saves them and keeps them and they'll never perish. No, never. I need that God. I need to hear a man tell me about it all the time. God's God. And he said, lo, I've said unto you, you'll never perish. Oh, I need that. Need that. I love it. I love him as God. The gospel says God's God. Look at verse 3. The gospel concerning his son. Do you need to hear? I mean from the heart. Do you need to hear that God was manifest in the flesh and came as a man to live as a man, a life for some men, and he did it. Lived it perfectly and gave it to some people and went to the cross and bore their sins in his body on the tree, and now rose to make intercession for them. Who's the them? That's those old sinners I'm talking about. Hey, sinner, do you need to hear that? Do you need that? Do you need to hear about this Jesus Christ? So, yes, I feel myself to be such a rotten, hell-deserving sinner. Good. Let me tell you the gospel. Here's the good news. He was manifest to take away our sin. You need that? Do you love that? Do you love that? Say, hey, sinner, did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. All of them? All of them. Sing it over again. Make it plain.
sing it o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful. Even me. Who? You? Yes, me. You need to hear that? Do you love to hear that? Only sinners love to hear that. Only lost people love to be found. Want to be found. Only sinners need this gospel. Not righteous people, not good, moral, holy, upright people. They don't need it. They don't want it. They get offended by it. Any sinners out there? You love it, don't you, when I call you a worm, John, don't you? Huh? Yes, you do.
How else can you explain that?
Because he said, I'm the God of Jacob. Then Nick, I'm the God of Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Who is Jacob? He said, Jacob, you're a worm. And I call you, Barbara, you're real pretty, you're attractive, you're a nice woman, but you're a worm. Why are you smiling? That's who Jesus Christ came to save. You need to hear that. Oh, you got to be brought down before you be exalted. Brought up. Our children need to be sinners. Don't take that and run with it, but I'm telling you, none of our children are going to be saved unless God shows them they're sinners. And the worst thing that might happen to them, you think, might be the best. If God the Holy Spirit will someday bring them down to see what they are, then that same Spirit will bring them up. When you're down and out, there's only one place to look. Up. Right? Sinner? That's the reason we keep talking about sin here. Sin. Old Brother Scott Richardson, I'll never forget this statement. He said, go ahead and convince me that I'm a sinner. He said, I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. I don't delight in it. I'm ashamed of it. He said, but go ahead, convince me. Convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a hell deserter. Good, moral, upright, religious, those who attend on Sunday mornings. No, no promise to any of those. Who did he come to save? Sinners. Sinners. That's who he came to save. Ah, concerning. Do you need to hear it? Huh? Concerning. Declared to be the Son of God with power. This is the gospel that declares him to be the Son of God with power. That's not my text, John, but boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Declared to be the Son of God with power. Power. Not poor little Jesus. I wouldn't sit for 5 minutes in one of these services, let alone every day in and day out, listen to some pitiful preacher tell me to accept this poor little Jesus. Pah! Pah! Virgie would do. Ain't nothing. Well, that's a stench in my nostril. Who needs some little pitiful little peanut head like that? That little Jesus. Huh? Tell me. Point me at a place to a place where a man stand up and saying, hey, Jesus the King, he's got all power in heaven and in earth. None stays his hand or says unto him, what doest thou? And those he comes to save, he saved them. I wanted to preach on this, Mindy. Later on, maybe I will. Brother Todd and I ever preached a message. He said the very first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth were, I must be about my Father's business. He's 12 years old when he said that. I wished you not, I must be about my Father's business. You know what his last words on the earth were? It is finished. You get that? Let me say it to you again. He said, I must be about my Father's business. His first words. His last words were, it's finished.
What was his Father's business?
Whatever it was, he finished it. Matthew 1:21, called his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He said, that's my Father's business. And of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. But we'll raise them up again at that last day. Huh? And everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him shall never perish. You seen him in all his glory and his power? That's only Jesus there is to see. Know him who has all power, declared to be the Son of God with power. Savior. Savior. Lord. Christ. Do you believe him? Never perish. Saved. Been baptized? Saved. Saved. Sovereign. No, that's it. And here's the last word. In our text it says, our Lord says, he that believeth the gospel. And I've tried to declare it. I've heard a lot of messages, some great ones, preached a few. The half has never been told. The gospel has never been rightly declared as it ought to be. Because if it were, everybody in here would be absolutely broken, absolutely weeping beside themselves with the glory and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Screaming, running down here screaming like they did at Pentecost. Men, what must we do to be saved? He's the Lord of glory, and I don't know him. What must I do? You see, if the gospel were really preached, that's the result. Well, he that believeth the gospel, Christ said, and is baptized, shall be saved. I hope the Holy Spirit will cause you to believe that gospel I just preached. Well, it says baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptized. Baptism is a command. It's not an option. Is it? Now, let me say this about baptism, all right? Just a few more minutes. There's nothing spiritual about this. There's nothing different about that place right there than your bathtub at home. Same water, full of iron pyrite. Nothing, just a tank. Fill it full of water. Nothing spiritual about it. Nothing mystical about it. You go up there, stand in there, a man stands with you, and he dunks you. He dunks you. Down the water. There's nothing mystical about that. You just get dunked. And brought it. There's no salvation in that. None whatsoever. That can't wash away unless you got a good bar of soap. It won't even wash your dirt away. Let alone your sins. No salvation in that. There's no spiritual blessings in that. You're not going to feel any better coming out of there than you did when you went in. Except maybe in conscience. What is baptism? Baptism, the scripture says, is an answer of a good conscience toward God. In other words, baptism is a show of faith. It's a show of faith in Christ. Everything I just preached, you say from the heart, I believe that. I need that. I love that. Hey, I believe that. Then be baptized. Confessing Christ. Be baptized. Now, I said a show of faith, didn't I? It's a public, a show. When you put on a show, it's a public display of something. This and this right here are the only two things our Lord said, you have to do this. This is an open public display of your faith in me. Right here. This do. In public. In front of people. And you don't do it in the privacy of your home. One or two of you. It's in public. A show of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing is to do publicly. Not a vain show now. Not a vain show. I'm going to show everybody I'm a Christian. Not that. Listen. It's a show of faith in Christ. A show of faith in Christ. In other words, when you go up in that tub, that's all it is, tub, pool, and you're standing there in that water, what you're confessing is, and the man takes you and dumps you down under and brings you back up, what you're confessing is, I am in Christ. Christ is the water of life. I'm in Christ by faith. I believe Christ. I believe what the preacher is preaching, the gospel. That's what I believe. I believe in Christ. I believe Christ. And I believe God, of God am I in Christ. So you're in that water, okay? In that water. And once you go down, the water's going to get in you. He's going to be in it, and he's going to be in it. But you say, I'm in Christ, alive in Christ, because he lives, I live. The water of life. You say, but I was dead, buried with Christ. When Christ was hung on that cross, that was me. God was punishing me. My sins were in Christ. When God killed his son, put him in the grave, he killed me. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I lived. I came back out like Christ. When Christ arose from the grave and went back to sit with the Heavenly Father, I'm seated with him now. I arose with him to walk in newness of life. Resurrection. It's a show of humility. You know, when you come up there, you ladies, your makeup, your hair, get that out of here. We're going to make you, we're going to dunk you. You're going to come up looking like a wet rat. Humility. A show of humility. Another man's going to take you down, right? Going to take you down. And that's what you say. Christ, the Holy Spirit, has brought me down. That's where I need to be. Matter of fact, he should have just drowned me while I was there. Brought me down, a show of humility. And you submit to being killed for Christ's sake. It's a renunciation of self. It's a renunciation of self. What you say is, I want Paul Mayhead, when I'm standing in that pool, I'm saying, I want Paul Mayhead dead, buried, and gone. Do away with it. Put him in the grave. I want that new man to rise and walk in newness of life. To be cleansed me from all unrighteousness, from my iniquity. That's it. It's a committal. It's a committal. You say, I want to rise to walk in newness of life. When you commit to that now, you've committed, really. People don't like to be embarrassed and humbled and so forth. And it takes a certain amount. But I'm telling you what, if you really believe Christ and trust him, this is a joy. Joy. And this is the reason I don't hound people and try to convince people and get baptism. I don't want anybody being baptized who doesn't absolutely need to be baptized. I don't tell anybody, you need to be baptized, per se. I wait on them to tell me, hey, I need to be baptized. And sometimes even put it off. Would you baptize me? Oh, I'm kind of busy this week. And then next week comes, when are you going to baptize me? Well, we can, you know, maybe next year. Well, now. Can I tell that story? I don't know if I can remember it correctly. But there's an older woman. In Pikeville, Kentucky, Brother Tom Hardy was preaching. And an older woman, 80-some years old, kind of crippled. And if I can get the story straight, I need to get the whole story, but at any rate, the Lord saved her. The preaching of the gospel, and it was one of those Sunday nights. She'd been coming, and Dad was down there preaching one night, and she came up that night, 80-some years old, feeble little woman, walked with a cane, and she said to him, she said, I believe this gospel. She said, I want to be baptized. And he said, good, I'm glad. Miss So-and-so, he said, next Sunday morning, Brother Thomas. She said, no. He said, now. He said, well, I haven't got any clothes. I mean, you don't either, do you? And she said, no, but that don't make any difference. She said, I want to be baptized now. Well, they did. They took her up there, I guess, in her undergarments or something. And she was baptized. before she was baptized? Oh, that's right. Before she was baptized, she was back in the back or something and fell down the stairs and broke her hip. And they called the ambulance, and the ambulance came, and they started to take her, and she hadn't been baptized yet. And they started to take her, and she says, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be baptized." And those paramedics had to sit on the back row while she was baptized. And they carried her up in there. And see, that woman wanted to confess Christ. She said, "I'm not going to wait." See, it's a joy. Camille, Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized." That's a condition. Anybody that can be baptized cannot be saved without it. Salvation is not in baptism. The thief on the cross could not be baptized, but he was saved. Simon Magus was baptized, but he wasn't saved. There's no salvation in baptism, with or without it. But if you can be baptized, and you really believe Christ, you must be baptized. The person cannot for whatever reason. That woman, boy, that leaves every other excuse lame, but lame, no pun intended. A lame excuse. If you can and have not, you haven't confessed Christ yet. And let me add this too. You say, I just don't feel. Who said anything about feeling? I don't feel sinful enough, you know. Nobody does. None of us know just how sinful we really are. You know, I just don't feel my... Here's the song says, all the fitness, all the need that he requires is to feel your need of him. That's it. Do you need this gospel? Do you need this Christ? Do you need this salvation? He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's good, isn't it? I'm glad. I believe, and I was baptized one day. And you know, I believe if the Lord had said, you must be baptized 5 times. Rick, come on. Huh? Wouldn't you? Don't you think you'd say that? Come on, let's go. Got 4 more to go and it'll just make me happy. Our brother always said, he said, when I hear the gospel, I get saved again. Whenever I hear the gospel, he said, I get saved all over again. I want to jump in the pool. When I see somebody, don't you? When you see somebody baptized, don't you want to say, hey, wait, let me in there again. So I can tell everybody, this is the Christ I believe. This is what I believe, who I believe. He that believeth and is baptized. Simple as that. Can I make it plain, Henry? I must have, because I didn't hear you say that. All right. He that believeth, young, old, black, white, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, male, female. You gotta believe. Need Christ. Get in the pool. All right, Joe, you got a song picked up. What is it? 235.